So celebrate lots of things. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate graduations. We celebrate, Pastor Dan said he finally got his thesis in for his master's degree. You celebrate, right? It's just like, wow. You celebrate when your children are born. You celebrate when they get married. You celebrate when they leave home. You celebrate, there's a lot of times to celebrate. You can actually celebrate everything if you think about it. Just celebrate. Just find something and celebrate it. What is it? Well, it's 20 after 11. Let's celebrate this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We just need to do that. And this is the season to celebrate. The Jews knew how to celebrate. They would just have a great time. They would get in together and they would fellowship and they would dance. They would eat. They'd drink wine. I'm not saying you should do that. But if you do, that's up to you. But you don't. The awesome thing is, when you have Jesus in your life, you can celebrate about all sorts of things. Now, I'm not saying get into this, hallelujah, everything's fine. I just got some bad results from the doctor. I'll celebrate. No, my car won't start. Hallelujah. My car's being repossessed. Bless the Lord. I don't have enough money for Christmas. Isn't that great, Jesus? No, that's not being real. But you can celebrate because you have life in Jesus Christ. And you're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. This is temporary. And some of us are saying, yay. But this is temporary. There's a time for us to realize that we're going to be with God forever. And just think what that's going to be like. Sit down. The first thing we're going to do is celebrate. We're going to sit down. We're going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're just going to sit, and everybody's going to be in the same proximity as Jesus. I don't know how that's going to work. And nobody have to clean up after. We'll just spend our life together forever and ever and ever in celebration. See, that's the way God wanted it in the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth, and he created somebody to celebrate with. That was us. This creation of Eden was a beautiful place where there was no pain or sorrow or weeds or mosquitoes or anything. There was no need for anything. It was just a time to hang out and fellowship. Everything was there to eat. Everything was there to enjoy. The colors were vivid and just beautiful. Just this morning, there was a beautiful rainbow over, and it was right down into Walmart. I don't know. That either can be two connotations. They might have hired a wee little Irishman, and he's just being focused there. I don't know. But or that's where all your money's going to go. All the gold's going to go right into Walmart. That's probably what more of the truth is. But the beauty of the colors were so vivid. The purple on the outside edge, and they just worked in. It was gorgeous. That's God's creation. Can you celebrate that kind of stuff? Can you get up in the morning and say, hey, Lord, the sun's up. Hey, Lord, there's a lot of snow. Who cares? I mean, the people in the ditch care quite a bit, but just think of the tow truck drivers. These guys are dancing. They're excited. People selling chains and people, we couldn't even, it's great that we have Don Kootenay and his family with all the machinery because you couldn't book a loader or anything yesterday or the day before. Those guys are just making money. We had a guy in Parksville that used to clean our parking lot, and he said, he didn't come to our church, and he says, these are pennies from heaven, Jim, and they come from your church. So didn't happen that often. God loves celebrations. He loves to celebrate. And I think that's why he said, he created everything in 6 days, and then he wants you to rest. Now, I think we've taken that out of context where we just, just sit on the couch and don't do anything. Don't breathe. Don't do anything that might take some energy. Don't do anything. That's not what he's talking. I think he's talking about celebrating, getting together and having fellowship, talking about him. So in Exodus 23:14-19, it says this. Three times a year, you are to celebrate a festival to me. This is early on. This is early on in his creation. This is so important to understand. He says, three times a year, you, the Jews, the Israelites, are to celebrate a festival to me. The first one is the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast as I command you. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread because it was on this very day that I brought you out, your divisions out of Egypt. Hey, this is a picture of Christ. He's the deliverer. Celebrate your deliverance. We had a beautiful encouragement this morning about freedom. Freedom means deliverance. Freedom means you're not in bondage anymore. You're not stuck. You're not there. You're moving. You got freedom. You got life. That's what this is all about. So Jesus, or God the Father, said even before Jesus came to give us freedom, because if we're free in Christ, we're free indeed, right? And he just said in Exodus, celebrate freedom. So eat unleavened bread. Why unleavened bread? Well, because leaven is yeast and it expands and it's fermenting and it's not clean, it's not whole. So eat unleavened bread. That's the kind of bread I used to bake, even though I used yeast. It was like, it would come up unleavened. I don't know, I put lots of yeast in it. It was like blocks that are good for holding doors open or something. But you would just need one sandwich, and you didn't have long enough at lunch to eat it. It was hard, thick, porous, not porous. You couldn't soak it. You could soak it for a day, and it still would just crumble. So I didn't go into the bread-making business, as you can tell. But you need to understand that God is painting a picture here. You need to celebrate. And so we're celebrating. We're getting to Christmas. We're going to celebrate Christmas. Because, I don't think Jesus was born in December. I don't know how you're going to handle this piece. It just kind of worked out better for the Romans to throw this in at the same time so everybody would celebrate. It's also the sun god festival, and people just kind of grabbed onto it. I'm not hung up on that. I hope you're not. I know Jesus was born. Probably was born in the spring, because when we raise sheep, our sheep were born in the early spring. But he was born. And so let's celebrate this. Let's not get hung up on, you know, even when you go back and you do some work in theology and research, you find out that he probably wasn't born on zero. You know, on our calendars, zero, it's B.C., before Christ, and then it's A.D., it's after A.D. Minnow. So it's like, zero. Now they're saying he was born before. I love this. Born before he was born. They figure 4 or 5 BC. 4 or 5 BC. So Christ was born 4 or 5 before Christ. Oh, yeah. It gets thicker, you know, like it's easier to understand. It doesn't matter. We know he was born because we know that because he was born, he went to the cross to die for our sins. He became like us so that he could suffer like us, but he was the only one that could go in with his blood, take it into the throne room of God and say, it is finished. Amen. The battle is over. Yes. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I know that Jesus was born. So the festival of unleavened bread. Then the festival of the harvest, where the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. For 7 days, celebrate the festival of the Lord to your God at the place of the Lord will choose, for the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Wow. What does that say? He's talking about planting for the harvest. Because there's another festival we're going to talk about. Planting for the harvest. That takes faith to plant. Farmers struggle all the time. They put the seeds in the ground and they're dependent on the weather. When we lived in the Okanagan, it was always about whether the rain came at the wrong time and destroyed all the cherries. Or whether it was too cold for the apples and there was blight on them. And it was just like this every year. in our country and all over the world. Farmers depend. When they put that seed in there, they depend on God. When Jesus Christ speaks in your life, comes into your life, you live by faith. Isn't that awesome? He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, a seed, a tiny little guy like that, it'll grow up to be a plant where birds can come and in our country it'd be seagulls could come and land. And go, quack, quack, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Beautiful living by the ocean. Prime real estate. Quack, quack, and then walking across your roof, right? And painting your car at the same time. This is the harvest. We need to be people who believe that Christ came and redeemed us and that we have faith to believe that we are planting a crop of faith. We're planting a crop of in our callings. We're planting a crop of connecting with people, and we're planting the seed of God in people's lives. And then one day, the next feast is the gathering, the ingathering. He's coming to get us. Kind of really believe that, or do you just think they've been preaching, they've been talking about this for 2,000 years? I mean, here's another guy, and he'll just die off, and then some young preacher will come up, and he's coming, hallelujah, he's coming. Well, I tell you, he's coming. He's coming for his church. He's coming for his church, and that's not this church. This is one of the churches. He has one church and one church only. That's the church of Jesus Christ. And he's coming back for that church, and he may come back this afternoon, or he may come back 10 years or 12 years or 50 years from now or 100 years. I don't know, but he's coming back because there's the festival of ingathering, the harvest, and then the festival of ingathering. At the end of the year, when you gather in the crops from your field, that's a celebration time too. Harvest. I mean, we have a harvest celebration here instead of Halloween. We have it. And farmers celebrate. They celebrate for a couple things. They celebrate because God has blessed them with crops or their animals or whatever the case is. And then there's this celebration that it's done. The work is over for another year. Isn't that something? You see all these fields that are laying fallow. They just lay and the snow comes on them or the rain comes on them. And some of the fields in this country are just covered in water and they have to wait till a certain time when that water goes away, then they can replant. Well, there's a time coming when Jesus will gather up his church and we will go to be with him and there'll be no more work here. No more work here. Now, don't think that you're just going to go up there and sit in an easy boy chair and watch TV, because there's no TV and there's no easy boy chairs. There's going to be so much exciting stuff to do that'll keep you stimulated, and you're going to learn and you're going to develop and you're going to be blessed for the rest of eternity. Because God is not limited in his creativity. He can build and he can change and he can give you wisdom and insight, develop you and train you to be who we are supposed to have been in the very beginning. That's going to happen. And so there's celebrate these three festivals. One for freedom. One for faith. And one to know that we're going home. He's coming together as church. So what does it mean to celebrate? Acknowledge a significant or happy day or event with a social gathering or enjoyable activity. You know, different countries celebrate differently. I mean, you know, Italians, I mean, it's just a big celebration. It could be just a hello. Hey, I like you. You know, the Greeks are the same. If you've seen that, my big Greek fat wedding or whatever it is, that it's just like, I could relate so much to that because that's my family. You know, slap you and talk to you and kick you out and, you know, tutto fuori, get out of here, you know. You know, just it's just that, it's that excitement, and you're eating with your hands and you're talking at the same time and you know, and everybody's yelling and screaming. And that's normal. Like, that's normal. But there's some cultures that are very different. And I really think of Elaine's family. They're so they're so different. Like, they're very reserved and very quiet. And when I came up there, I kind of stirred things up. Like, they didn't understand. But the worst part was, because we celebrate so much in our family, we eat lots. So one morning, I was up there for breakfast. And Elaine's mom made 3 eggs and some bacon and some toast, half a dozen pieces of toast. And so they, nobody else was in the dining room, and they brought this in and put it there. And I ate it. And I wasn't supposed to eat it because we're all supposed to eat it. When they came in, there was nothing for anybody else. Well, my mom was a cook. She was Irish, and she worked in a hospital in the army, and she cooked. She still thought there was 300 people living in her house. And so we would have pails and pails. So 3 eggs and a half a dozen pieces of toast and maybe a half a pig or something like that and bacon and ham. That was nothing. It was sure was a little awkward, I'll tell you. A little awkward when I just finished in the last piece of toast and they go, where did all that go? I was celebrating because I like breakfast. They weren't celebrating because I might be part of their family. And they were just happy that I just took her. It was cheaper to take her away for them than for me to move in with them, that's for sure. So it means that we need to get excited. We need to celebrate. We need to shout. And we celebrated on Friday night with the kids. And we're going to celebrate tonight with the staffs of the different ministries in our church. And we're going to celebrate. All of you are going to go to different parties. And then we're going to go home. And we're going to, you know, celebrate with our families. And our kids are going to come over. And it's just going to be a time of just being happy. Right? And I know Christmas is not happy for some people. And I know that even what I'm talking about is like foreign to you. And maybe this year it's not even going to be like that. But I'll tell you something, Jesus in you gives you reason to be happy and joyful. Because it said right back here, it says when you, in the harvest, the faith, and it takes faith to do this. It says, you and all your harvest and all your work of your hands and your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete. Not in all the things. Can you imagine all the things that are going to be purchased this year? I don't even know, like, what to buy anymore because, like, I don't need anything. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that until after. Don't return those gifts you're going to give me. I'm just fooling. but do we really need anything? Most of us don't need it, and we want a lot of things. I do. I want that F-150. Ford 4x4. I just got to drive one here again a little while ago. So that's good enough. I don't have to make the payments on it, which is awesome. We need to celebrate, though. We need to celebrate. And that's how we do it. So let's look at some other scripture here. Jesus and God love to celebrate. So he went to a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to this wedding. I think you know the story. And so they're going, and they're like, I love going to weddings. Elaine and I get to go to weddings lots because I get to officiate at weddings. And it's even exciting when we get to go on our anniversary because then we both get dressed up. We get to go. We have a nice meal and it doesn't cost me anything. We can just celebrate together. It's a great thing for us to be in the company and have the honor of being in somebody else's celebration. So Jesus and his disciples were all invited to this celebration. And he kept the party going. You might have a little difficulty with this theology, but he actually made wine, and I'm pretty sure it was the kind you get gooned on. I'm pretty sure it was. It wasn't Welch's grape juice, because Welch wasn't around at that time. I'm pretty sure, because even in that story it says, but, you know, they usually save the very good stuff for the end, make sure all the all the family that drink, you know, that drink up, they drink all the bad stuff up, and then just there's to be some good stuff left over. Jesus made six big pots, maybe about 120 gallons or something altogether, like these big pots, like big pots, water pots, full of really good wine. And the party continued on. And some of you have a history of remembering what those kind of parties are like. And he also said he wanted to celebrate what we call communion, but they called the Passover. And I read this to you just last week. He replied, "Go into a city and a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointment time is near. I'm going to celebrate." Isn't that interesting? He said, "I'm going to celebrate." To celebrate the very death that's going to become him so that we can celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb in communion. He's going to celebrate the Passover where he'll become the Lamb in a few days. I want to do it with my disciples and I want to do it at your house. I don't think, even with what was going on, that it was a solemn occasion, because Jesus knew, and Jesus had more strength and more power than all the death that was looking him in the face. "I want to celebrate," Jesus says. "I want to celebrate in the hard times with you. I want to celebrate in the good times, but I'll take you through. And you know as well as I do that some people are suffering and they're facing possible death unless God intervenes in their lives. That might be one of you right here. But he understands you. And you don't throw your hands up and say hallelujah in that artificial way, but he understands you. And he'll help you to celebrate in a way that you never, ever imagined you could celebrate before. And so let's get to the story of the season. Jesus, his birth. I read this out of, and I love this. I like the term that we're going to come up with here in a minute that comes out of the Message Bible. It says there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had just set night watches over their sheep. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Suddenly, now this has got to be a pitch black area, right? They didn't have street lights. They didn't have barns. They didn't have anything. They were just up. They might have had a campfire, but suddenly God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed all around about them. "Look out, the place is on fire. How could we have a forest fire here? There's not even any trees. What's going on?" The place erupted, and it's the same kind of fire and glory and power that was the same thing that delivered, that what went before them at night when the Egyptians or the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. It's the same tower of flames that went, the same kind of brightness through the night, and then the cloud that separated them from their enemy through the day. God is powerful. I don't know about you, but when the light comes on, it sure makes a difference in my life. I don't like being in the dark because I don't know what's going on in the dark. And there can be fear coming because you don't know what's going on. But when the lights are on, it's way different. So God's glory, and not only is there this beautiful warmth of this light, but there's the presence of God. God wants to be in your presence, and he wants to envelope you with his presence. And if you're shot out of bed like that, you'd be terrified. And they were. And the angel said, "Chill, man. Don't be afraid. Fear not." Wouldn't that be cool? Like, I'd be scared. Honestly, I would be scared. And do you think the sheep were just going, you know, like, "Oh, I wonder what's going on?" They would have been all over the place. They would have been going crazy because all of a sudden it's daylight and they're supposed to be sleeping, and all of a sudden their shepherds are not in control, and they're just kind of looking at everything that's going on. And so they were terrified, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everyone worldwide." Isn't that cool? It's not just, hey, you know what? You guys are the lucky ones. I came to you, you're a bunch of shepherds here. I picked you out of everybody else in the world because I have this message for you alone. I've had this plan of saving about maybe 15 or 20 people through this little kid that's going to be born. His name's Jesus. But it's just between you and us. Okay? This is it. We're the select few, and too bad. Well, we'll just, you know, I mean, you can have your families as well, and then we'll just start the whole earth over again. No, he didn't say that. He said this is for worldwide. And we know that it's not just for the world at that time, but it's a world for us today and the world that's for us in the future until he comes back. Jesus Christ has a plan, and he's made provision for everyone who calls on his name to accept Jesus Christ, can accept him, and will live with him forever. He said a Savior has just been born. Cool. In David's town, which is Bethlehem. A Savior who is the Messiah and the Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a manger in a blanket. And once the, that wasn't enough, just this one angel, boom. And then they brought in the band. They did. They brought in the choir. And how long did they sing? Did they know the songs? Like the shepherds, did they know the songs? Silent night. Did they have an overhead projector up there? A multimedia thing? Were they too loud? I bet you they were really loud, those angels. But what a presence of God. I wonder what they sang. I mean, we kind of made Christmas carols out of the story, but could you imagine being there? And you know what? This is the part I really love. We're going to see those shepherds in glory when we get there. Those guys will have a story to tell. Don't you think? They're going to have a story to tell about being there on that hillside when it just erupted in light and the presence of God came down so thick and so powerful that it changed their lives forever. So when they finished singing praises, I guess they did know the song, "Glory to God in the Highest, Peace on Earth." We know that one. So that is pretty old. Randy, did you know it was that old? It was pretty old. So the choir withdrew into the heavens. The shepherds talked it over. What do you think? I think they talked while they were running. I think they just got so pumped. They just were in the presence of God, and now they're going to go. They are the first ones to go and visit Jesus. Well, let's get over to Bethlehem, they said, as fast as we can so we can see for ourselves what God has revealed to us today. Maybe that's where you are this morning. God is revealing something to you right now. You know, you just need to hurry and go as fast as you can to meet with him this morning. You need to be open to that invitation and say, "Jesus, I need you to come into my life right now. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to be the one who loves me, the one who cares for me, the one who can erase all my sins, the one who can change my life, the one who can give me joy that runs deeper than all my circumstances. Jesus, I need you right now. I need you to come in." And that's the invitation that he's speaking to you right now. So they left running. And so did they have those awesome flashlights that we have now? Did they have street lights to run on? Did they have, "Hey, taxi, take me down to Bethlehem, down to that inn that's really full and only Jesus is in there because he's kind of in the barn." No, they didn't have anything like that. But they're sure-footed shepherds who knew the ground. And they've been to Bethlehem many times. And so they ran in the dark to the place where Jesus was born. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And seeing was believing. Isn't that the truth? Wow. You know, I watched what God did this last week. I don't know, maybe each one of you have seen God do something this last week. I mean, something you're praying about, something that you were really struggling with, something you really needed to have happen, something you're praying about for a long time, and then he did it. And you know he did it. And you go, wow. Like God, you know he's real. You know he does all those things, but seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. He opens your eyes to the powerful and the miraculous and the expression of love that he has. He can do anything. Please understand me and understand that God is saying this to you. God can do anything. Your situation, God can do. Your need, he can fill. And he wants to. So they told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. And you know when God does something in your life? When God appears to you, when God does something in your life, you want to tell everyone. You just want to spread it. And you know, that's the trouble with when somebody gets newly saved is they just kind of, they should maybe kind of locked up in a room because they just want everybody, blah, 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 blah. That's good. Trouble is after we've been saved for a while, we just, you know, we don't do much of that. You should, every day you get up, think about that you're in the middle of this day that God's already started. You're not getting up and saying, oh, God, hey, you're awake now too. It's 8 o'clock. No, he's already been at it for 8 hours. Well, he's actually up all the time anyway, so when you sleep at night, you can sleep well because he's already awake. There's no use both of you being up. So why don't you sleep? You can't do anything about your situation? He can. Go to sleep. But remember, when you get up, you're getting up into his day. He's already got it planned. He's already got it. And just check in. It's just like your dispatcher. Just say, hey, what's on the agenda today? Not, hey, this is what we're going to do, God. Come along with me. I got some great plans. Reverse that now and say, hey, God, what do you got for us to do? What can I be a part of with you today? Because you're already into this day longer than I have been. So they told everybody, excuse me, what the angels said. All who heard the shepherds of the sheep herders were impressed, and Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. Because we know that that Jesus spoke to her, God the Father spoke to her, and the Holy Spirit, and she had all this stuff inside of her. All these people coming to the birth of her child confirmed that God had sent the Savior through her. We need to know through confirmation of other people what God has spoken to us is going to come to pass. And then sometimes we just need to hold those things inside of us and let them, like, just ruminate. Let them just settle in there, because you know what he wants? Is he wants you to have such a relationship with him that when he speaks to you, you know absolutely that it's going to come to pass. And you watch as people come in and confirm those very things in your life. The sheep herders returned and let loose. Let loose. You ever let loose at a party? Don't put your hands up and tell me a story. But you did. You let loose. And maybe, you know what? Maybe you became a little bit lubricated because, you know, that's what alcohol will do, or drugs or anything like that. And we can become loose. We can become free, and we can be all the things we're supposed to be without any additives. Do you understand what I'm saying? I used to drink all the time. And I told you this before, Elaine and I would drink quite a bit, especially at Christmas time. We would make sure we had lots and lots of booze so that we could be happy at Christmas time. And it ended up, honestly, it ended up in our house where there was just blood on the floor, literally blood on the floor, when we, by 10 o'clock, we were drunk and we were fighting. I hated Christmas. And so I'd drink more to try to, you know, it's a cycle, it's a vicious cycle, because now you're upset, now you're depressed, so you drink more, which is just the worst thing for you, because then you get deeper down in the hole. And you hate Christmas. I hated Christmas. Then I found Christ. I found Christ, and I had a different reason for celebrating Christmas. I had the reason for celebrating Christmas now. I had him in my life, and I didn't need to drink to get excited and to celebrate. I didn't need to be someone who I wasn't. I was able to be someone who I was. And I started to enjoy being with Christ as who I really am, the way he created me, and not trying to be something to please somebody else. And it's a journey. I'll tell you, it was a journey. Now, we're excited about Christmas. We're excited, really, this year, especially because Elaine had the Christmas tree up a week before the end of November. We had Christmas lights. We never put Christmas lights up before. We have Christmas lights on our porch. Like, wow, you know, maybe not big to you, but big to us, you know? It is. It's like our Christmas, our house is ready for Christmas, and our house is ready to celebrate, and our kids are going to come over, and we're going to celebrate, and the poor turkeys aren't going to celebrate because they're going to be on the middle of our table. That we're gonna celebrate, and we're going to hang out, and we're going to goof off, and we're just going to enjoy giving gifts to one another because Jesus Christ came into our lives. Jesus Christ is born today in a place called Bethlehem. That was the word. And you know what? From now on, I'm going to let loose in life, not just on Christmas Day. Can you let loose in life? Can you let loose because Jesus Christ lives inside of you? Can you let loose? Because if you can let loose, you're not in bondage anymore. If you're not free, you can't let loose. You got to be free to let loose. So you can be animated, hallelujah. So you can run and jump and shout and talk louder than you should. Eat way more than you should. Because you can celebrate. You don't have to be artificial and phony. Because people will see through that. But I'll tell you, when you get to celebrate, celebrate. Celebrate. And it's not just today, and it's just not tomorrow, it's just not Christmas. It's every day. We need to be people who celebrate. Would the team come back up, please? Can you celebrate? Are you free to celebrate? All right. This morning, what we're going to do when we close is we want you to come up to the altar. Randy's going to do some worship here. And I want you to celebrate Christ by praising him. All right? You could do it back there, and some of you will still stay there. But I want to invite you to, it's just like the shepherds being invited in. And here's the little manger. And they came and they were just like, they celebrated, they got started celebrating on the hillside. And when they got down there, and they could see their Savior. And that's all by faith, because this is a little dude. He can't save anybody right now. He can't even burp himself. Okay? But by faith, and the seeds that were planted all through the Old Testament, in Isaiah, unto you a child will be born. Then to the birth of Jesus Christ, by faith looking and saying, this is our Savior. To the ingathering that's coming, celebrate. Celebrate.